If you work in quality control at a candy factory, you know strict safety regulations come with the job. It's why you partner with Grainger. Grainger helps you find the high-quality and compliant products your business needs to inspect, detect, and help correct issues. And the sweetest part is, everyone gets a product that's as safe to eat as it is delicious. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, I'm Kristen Bell. Carvana makes car buying easy. Isn't that right, hun? Dax?
Sorry, did you know about this 7-day money-back guarantee?
A week to evaluate seat comfiness, you say?
A week of terrain tests? Yeah, I can test the brake pad resistance at variable speeds.
Make sure all the kids' stuff fits nicely.
Make sure our stuff fits nicely.
Oh, the...
Right. Still need to buy the car. Getting ahead of ourselves here.
Buy your car with Carvana today.
There are so many reasons to check out NordVPN.com/Fightful. Let's go through a ton of them. Works on all operating systems and devices, even your router. Protect yourself on public Wi-Fi. Shield your data from snoops and criminals. Add extra layers of digital security to your life with the Password Manager, the File Encryption Tool, the Threat Protection Pro. It's the fastest VPN in the world. They've got a global server network, 24/7 tech support. And if you're a wrestling fan, oh man, are you in for it? All of the programs that WWE runs, you can watch with one Netflix account with NordVPN.com/Fightful. You can get pay-per-views at a much more affordable price. This service pays for itself in the money that you are going to save. NordVPN.com/Fightful. What's up, you guys? Welcome to Fightful. It is now March 10th, 2025. I'm Sean Ross Sapp. Please leave a thumbs up on this video, subscribe, you know the drill, all that stuff. Let's get the plugs out of the way. Whole bunch of interviews this week. Mark Briscoe, I can't even remember all the interviews, but we've got a whole lot of cool new videos here on YouTube.com/Fightful. We've got my behind the scenes of an interview with MJF. Go out of your way to watch that. Just a lot of cool stuff. If this is your first time here, we got nightly post shows. We have news shows, gosh, 3 or 4 days a week, interviews, event footage, all that stuff. Do yourself a favor and subscribe. We are on podcast platforms everywhere. We're on Twitter. We're on X. Get your question or statement in by sending a super chat here at YouTube.com/Fightful. Or if you're watching like the thousands of others on Facebook, Twitch, X, go to humperchats.com. That's H-U-M-P-E-R chats.com. We break, quite frankly, probably about half the news in pro wrestling these days that comes from pro wrestling websites. FightfulSelect.com is the place where that happens. $6 a month, $64 a year, the most affordable of its kind out there. And on Monday afternoon, I'll be doing my live Q&A. Every single week, I'm there answering questions. So if there's a story that you all haven't read about and you want to ask me about it, head over there and do that, or send a super chat or humper chat. Right here. We got AEW Revolution. What an insane show. Listen, I don't need 13, 14 matches. I don't need 5.5 hours, quite frankly, but I've said that every damn time they've done this, every single time. Other than that, incredible show. Even the stuff on the main card that I didn't necessarily think the world of, I understood from a creative standpoint why they did it. I think that, you know, three of the 0 hour matches just could have been on Collision or Dynamite. I think Outrunners and Hurt Syndicate could have been on Dynamite as well. I don't think you had to force that on there, but by God, here we are. Crazy 101 says the women killed it today. They did. Our moderator, Luis, will ask him to put super chats, humper chats like that in with the segment they go with. But Crazy 101 says Cena turned heel. AEW has a banger. Pay-per-view wrestling show. It's a good time. It is a good time. And we've got a ton to talk about. FightfulSelect.com had a scoops thread up tonight. We had broken the news that Wardlow was backstage at AEW Revolution. So a lot of people have been talking about Wardlow not being used, all that stuff. He's been hurt. That's the long and short of it. He wasn't in his wrestling gear, wasn't planned to be there to do anything on the show. He's been working on some other projects. But tons of celebrities that they brought in as well. Well, they did a really good job getting them on screen, on camera, and it really highlighting where it was they were geographically. And I mean, they got really lucky that you had like Dr. Ken and Leslie Jones, who were so into this stuff. Another rumor going around, Nakamura, like on his way out of WWE. I'm told that's not the case. There were some reports about Abaddon and Nick Comoroto, like facing releases. They're still with AEW at this point. That was in our AEW Revolution Scoops thread as well. Young Bucks had been around lately. I don't know if they were around tonight, but they were expected to be. They were at the San Diego show. They left a little bit early. But, man, there were an awful lot of people there, like from celebrities to wrestlers. Electra Lopez was backstage, recent WWE star. Read more about all that over at FightfulSelect.com. Hologram and Commander defeated Lee Johnson and Blake Christian. This one kind of, you know, highlighting the ROH elements of the brand. I don't have a problem with that. This is one that I actually would have left on the pre-show, because especially if you advertise it locally as a couple of Lucha Libre wrestlers, that's what you want. Move some tickets, get some people there. There are people who will legitimately come to the show just to see some Lucha Libre wrestling. Rough Poison Rana spot on Blake Christian. I was like, damn, man. Like I was worried. Was a little bit worried. But Hologram is a guy that AEW has been concerned about. I don't want to say concerned, but definitely focused on pushing and protecting and highlighting what it is that he could do. Luis brings up a good point and says it probably should have been the Hologram and Commander versus LFI match based on the build that they got. Here's another one that I was like, okay, I see it, but I don't. Daniel Garcia and Undisputed Kingdom. So I'm not ever going to complain about them being on the show. And also, they're not even the Kingdom anymore. It's just Undisputed at this stage. Like, Mike Bennett hasn't been on TV. Matt Taven hasn't been on TV. From what I understood, they weren't even supposed to be involved in the reunion celebration thing when it did happen at that pay-per-view. But they had the ops watching, who are a trio. And these guys beat Shane Taylor Promotions, which is Carly Bravo, Sean Dean, Lee Moriarty, Shane Taylor, that Tony Khan put over big time on the media call this week. I would have probably just had a trios match here. Just develop some stuff for the trios division. Now, I understand also you want to get Daniel Garcia on the show, but that's part of a larger problem that there hasn't been anything robust for Daniel Garcia. Now, they've had the Adam Cole stuff going on with him, but why not just have Daniel Garcia run it with Adam Cole? Why not have that build up to here? Unless, you know, you want to save it for a Collision or a Dynamite, but then that kind of brings back to the greater point. I don't think you need to get every single person on these shows when you have a loaded card like this. While I love all of the ingredients involved in this, and I mean on both sides, I don't know that this match needed to be here. I would rather something more creatively satisfying for Daniel Garcia play out, although I realize this is building a little bit. Chris Jericho versus Gravity ends in no contest. So I was talking to some people about Gravity because, like, he was booted from the company and didn't look like he was going to be back anytime soon. They brought him back. He's adding to this Bandido storyline with Chris Jericho. And I know that they've had some high hopes for Bandido and that feud for the ROH title for a while. And it got slowed down initially because he came back and got hurt. But I loved that this match didn't happen because it did more than a match could have done. And one of the stories I heard about this and how Gravity and Bandido's family sold this, it's almost too wild to believe. I'll see if I can tell you guys sometime over this week, but you know, they ripped the mask off of Gravity, which got a great reaction. And an emotional reaction from the family. Luis says that Carlos Cabrera was on the Spanish announce team and he was phenomenal, saying, "Don't you dare, you son of a," and then like cut himself off from dropping F-bombs and all that. But this is to build the Bandido Chris Jericho match for the ROH title. And while I think that should largely be done on ROH TV, this is a pretty damn good angle for it that's going to have a lot of eyeballs on it, and it's a nice commercial for the ROH service, which is what I think they should be doing. I have heard that there were some talks about ROH getting TV a while back, as Tony Khan had highlighted that on the media call as well. But I heard the TV deal ended up going a different direction and AEW ended up getting a different piece of content on. I'll have more on that on Fightful Select in the next week or two when I nail it down. But I thought this angle was very good. This was a great use of Chris Jericho, great use of the learning tree, a good reason to just have the match with Gravity instead of the match with Bandido, because there was no match with Gravity. Ends in a no contest, and I don't know if they'll end up giving him a title shot, Gravity, that is, off of this. But if they did, I wouldn't mind it. I would love for Jericho versus Bandido now, though, to culminate in like mask versus title. I would really like that. Now, here's the thing. You can't stretch this out 4+ months, right? Sorry to take a little sip here. I feel like they should absolutely do like a title versus mask match, but I honestly think the place they should do it is All In. And I know a lot of you go, well, why? Because of a huge Lucha Libre fan community in the Dallas area. If you look around at the way that AEW wisely markets some of their Texas events, some of their California events, there won't be a heavy mention of AEW. They'll say Lucha Libre Wrestling, and they'll promote like Lady Frost versus La Catalina or something like that, or Bandido facing somebody. And it's a very wise thing to do, because there are a lot of Lucha Libre fans there. I would absolutely do some sort of mask match at All In and capitalize on that demographic, that audience, and maybe put some asses in seats. And that might be a way that you could do that. Listen, Bandido versus Jericho in the Northeast probably isn't going to draw the same type of audience that a mask versus title match could in Dallas, Texas, which I think would be really great. Crazy101 says, also SRS, hope all is good. Yeah, I missed the Wednesday shows. I had mentioned this, went through some stuff physically that led to me just being mentally drained. I didn't have a breakdown or anything like that. Just got some stuff physically going on that caused me to not sleep throughout the week. And I'll elaborate whenever I can, but I'm okay for now. So I appreciate everybody who said very nice things. And for people who didn't say nice things, well, listen, don't know what to do. I just show up and do my job. Big Boom AJ and the Conglomeration defeated Johnny TV in the MXM collection. So there are so many elements of this. Big Boom AJ did a lot of promotion this week. But the star of this situation was the Rizzler coming out with Orange Cassidy. That was really good. Big Justice doing the bomb off of the power boom off the second rope. And then Mason walking him down a little bit. Johnny and Taya making out through the entire match is something that I would normally hate, but it was very funny to me. It was very funny to me. And then after the match, Adam Devine and, God, I can't remember his real name, but they play Kelvin and Keith on Righteous Gemstones doing the double choke slam. Very funny stuff. Mace, Mansoor, and Johnny TV, absolutely the people to have in this match. Big Boom AJ, Mark Briscoe, Orange Cassidy, absolutely the people to have in this match, for sure. Got to do that. I like that Taz was just so salty throughout this entire thing. It was so funny. I'll tell you what had me salty, and I'll go ahead and talk about it now. They had a lot of Queen of the Ring into integration, which, I mean, ideally, I would say maybe put the woman who's in it heavily, Camille, on your TV show, do that. But instead, they put some of the actors on there and had them talk ahead of the main event. The actors were the worst talkers on this show. by a country mile, including the woman that said something like, David says, I truly couldn't stop laughing when the actress said the wrestlers know what's happening before they come out. Much love, SRS, Hendrickson to the Lions. Well, the latter isn't happening, but I don't know what's going to happen with Trey Hendrickson, but I appreciate you. It was so weird. I'm like, why'd she say that? She said something like that on the pre-show too. And I'm like, if you're an AEW, you've got to tell them, don't say that shit. Don't say that shit. Would she have looked right at the camera during her movie and said, cut? No. And if she did, it wouldn't have got left in. And she knows that. How can actresses and actors like not be self-aware over that thing? That, come on. Come on, man. So frustrating.
Men, if you've lost your hair, it doesn't mean you can't find it again. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions, and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who found their hair again. Hims provides you with convenient and quality access to a range of hair loss treatments that work all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized, chewable, oral spray and serum treatments to find out what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/fightful. That's hims.com/fightful for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/fightful. Results vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
If you work in quality control at a candy factory, you know strict safety regulations come with the job. It's why you partner with Grainger. Grainger helps you find the high-quality and compliant products your business needs to inspect, detect, and help correct issues. And the sweetest part is, everyone gets a product that's as safe to eat as it is delicious. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Waiting to watch that. Lame. So, Bet Online, our wonderful partner. Make sure to check them out, guys. The highest credit card acceptance. They got high limits, fast payouts, all that good stuff. You know about Bet Online AG. We tell you about it nonstop. But we're doing business with them again. And right out of the gate, we got one to tell you guys about because Adam Hangman Page was an underdog in their betting lines. Some of you are like, oh, well, how could they let you bet on wrestling? If you really were sold on Adam Hangman Page right here, could have won you some money. And those lines were very close. One of the closest on the show. Now, another one that was one of the closest on the show was the Moxley one. And I had that as a lock pick. I'll tell you more about the odds on these as we go throughout the night. But Adam Hangman Page, or Hangman Adam Page, in whatever order you want to say it, was an underdog and ended up winning at Bet Online. All new players do get a 50% welcome bonus. Only bet what you can and please bet responsibly. But let me take a little sip of my water before this one. Damn, this match. Now, before you even get to the match, bro, the non-point video. And some of you youngins are going to go, non-point? What the hell are you talking about, non-point? Listen, I love non-point. I love non-point because I discovered them from SmackDown versus Raw games about 17 years ago. I love What a Day. I love Bullet with a Name on it. Love that stuff. Love it. What else I got on my phone? What other non-point songs do I have chilling on my phone right now? Alive and Kicking? No, I got that one. in the air tonight. That one's okay. That one's all right. I am a non-point guy. The Reckoning, got that one. Victim Ruthless that day. I'm a fan. But this is the right kind of nostalgia. Like, not overused or anything like that, but very topical, because MJF said he had a bullet with Hangman's name on it, and they used that song, which probably didn't cost them that much, because listen, Nonpoint is not a big band or anything like that. But chef's kiss right there for them using that, because it was on SmackDown versus Raw. It wasn't used on like WWE TV. This is the type or the part of year where everybody just forgets that, you know, that MJF can wrestle. And then he goes out and has an incredible match. Now, I love MJF's motivation. And I've mentioned this on the post shows before. Despite the fact that MJF is a huge piece of shit, and you can find out just how much of a piece of shit in my new video on our channel here, where I take a look at what it's like to interview MJF. But he loved being loved. Throughout 2023, he really enjoyed it. Like, as a character, to the point to where he was clearly trying to avoid Adam Cole and then got addicted to being loved so much that he changed a lot of his tendencies. He wasn't a coward anymore. He went from not wrestling at all to wrestling in handicap matches, to wrestling multiple times in a day. He was changing his tendencies and the things that he did to appease that crowd, because it was finally something that made them love him. And you could argue that Adam Hangman Page has done so many things that are worse than what MJF has done. He ended a man's career in Christopher Daniels. He's burned a house down. He's done all kinds of crazy violent things, like a needle through the cheek and all that. And the audience loves him. The audience loves Hangman, but they don't like MJF. The parallels between the direction of Ricochet and Swerve and then Hangman and MJF are very similar. Ricochet didn't do anything wrong, and he just got bullied. And then Swerve said, "You tried to be a hero, and they hated you. I know I'm the villain, and they love me." And it's so similar to MJF and Hangman, because Hangman and Swerve run parallel. They became the same guy. They started to do the same things, and now there's just like this understanding, like, maybe we should just stay away from each other. Incredible. Incredible. And Corey M. sends a super chat. Thank you so much. Get those in, my friends. He says, AEW has so many feuds they can go pick up and put down wherever they need to. Hangman MJF, Hangman Swerve, Ricochet Swerve, Mariah Tony, FTR, Bucks, Cope Christian, Mox Danielson, if he wants to. The Danielson thing, so I finally got my interview recovered. Whenever I drop it on Fightful, you'll see it got clipped in half, but he said he wasn't feeling good. This was in December, though. Well, let's talk about the damn match, because MJF and Hangman, if you want to say they had match of the night, I wouldn't argue with you. You wanted to say that three or four other matches were match of the night? It'd be hard for me to argue that either. But this was an incredible way to kick off the show. This is setting the tone for the rest of the show is very important. Very important. MJF dropping F-bombs and stuff on the microphone. But let me tell you about this spot that got an audible like, ooh, from everybody. There's an unfolded chair up against the barricade, and Hangman goes for a moonsault. MJF kind of catches him. Hangman goes backwards into a tombstone. Then MJF reverses that, runs with the tombstone, and does it on an opened chair.
Woo.
Holy hell. What a brilliant spot. And then one of the most disgusting spots that I have ever seen, MJF took this angel's wing, just gross, man. So I do love that Hangman Page has like adopted that move and taken it from Christopher Daniels. I don't know if it is a how MJF took it or a how Hangman delivers it. But when you do it, and a lot easier said than done, easy for me to say sitting here in a Nike sweatsuit and in a seat in my office, but you get the person vertical, or they get themselves vertical, and they stay vertical. You don't really, I don't think you got to tuck your chin or anything like that. They stay vertical, and then you set them down. MJF's legs were up at an angle, and his head was tucked a little bit, and face smacked right into the mat. Had he been knocked out cold, I would not have been surprised. It was one of the filthiest, like, face plant spots I've seen in a long time. That one is to the pedigree like what Marty Garner was, where he went up and then bam. Like, if you were to shoot, do an angel's wings on somebody, this is how you would want them to land, hoping you messed them up. But he got up. He finished the match because he's a tough son of a bitch, man. The whole prissy dude that doesn't want to wrestle thing, that is a gimmick, in fact. And what we saw was one of the most disgusting angel's wings to nearly end a fantastic match. What a fantastic match that was. Great stuff. Can't wait to see because Hangman's character is one that when he loses, you go, okay, well, he can actually add a little bit to that. Or it adds a little bit to his character. With MJF, don't know. He's the last two or three years, since Wardlow, he's lost to Samoa Joe, Will Ospreay, and now Hangman. Just, damn, man. Love for Boost says this might be the cleanest loss MJF has taken. Hangman just beat his ass till he couldn't get up anymore. Yeah. Really beat the living shit out of him is what happened. And that's what you got to do to MJF. Like, even within the character, he's protected because he should be. He's a top guy. Zach Schimmel says, almost a perfect show. Hope you're doing well, SRS. I am. Thank you very, very much. I got the hiccups now, though. Happens every time I'm on air. Scott Watson became a Fightful member. Sometimes we post our interviews early on our membership page and all that, but you can also subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. Listen, I know you guys hear me pushing it a lot. I promise if you guys try Fightful Select, you're going to like it. I know some of you might get your news from Facebook pages or Twitter aggregator accounts. There ain't a one of them I haven't had to correct because they disseminate the news in a bit of a different way. I'll give you an example. There was a lot of talk about the Cody heel turn pitch. And I was like, hey, this is true. But not all of it was true. If you would have read our story on Fightful Select, I reported, we did hear that Cody was pitched a heel turn. However, we did not hear that it was last minute at Elimination Chamber for Cena to do that. We did not hear that he was ever pitched for it to happen at Mania, anything like that. We got a bunch of details on the Jade Cargill stuff that ended up getting quite a bit of credibility added to it, but FightfulSelect.com. Jamie Hayter even confirmed one of our news stories this week. FightfulSelect.com. We got a Q&A going up on Monday, live Q&A. But also, we've got a Discord that is exclusive to Fightful Select members. I'm going to be in that chatting during shows way more. And a bit of a programming note. Looks like I'm going to be doing the post-Raw shows when they happen in the UK right after, like an early evening. So that's going to be a lot of fun. Mercedes Moné versus Momo Watanabe. Man, Momo is 24 and wrestles like a grizzled vet. Also, we had reported on Fightful Select, she had to get help to the back. And this was a physical ass match. Billy Starks was watching as well. Got some news on that one coming soon. FightfulSelect.com. Momo's kicks are great. She lays that shit in, brother. But I'll tell you who else laid it in. Mercedes with that powerbomb. Woo, boy. Dumped Mercedes in the back of her head. We're getting those good old Sasha Banks cells, brother, where she takes them high on the shoulders and the neck, and she's folded backwards. this is getting to be prime stuff right here. The run that Mercedes has been on since like October has been phenomenal. This is the Mercedes Moné that they signed. This is the woman that they wanted to come out and have absolute humpers all the time. And that's what she's doing. On the big stage, she delivers as well as any woman out there. It can be against anybody. Stephanie Vaquer, cool. Let's do it. Momo Watanabe, let's go. Anybody else? Somebody from America? Harley Cameron had less than 75 matches? Go for it. She delivers. She leads in the ring. She is a champion. I still saw people, I can't believe I saw people after this going, well, you know, she's got creative control, because she didn't lose to Momo Watanabe, who had barely been seen on AEW TV for like a month ago. They paid a lot of money to this woman. She's going to be protected. She is a top star in wrestling. She's going to be protected. She does not have creative control either. More on that on FightfulSelect.com in the coming weeks. Loved the finish. I can't remember the name of the backpack into the spinny gimmick. I used to be a moves name guy, and I'm not as much anymore. But going into the Money Maker, good stuff, man. Good stuff, man. Really loved this. Mercedes is on a roll. And Momo is going to be a person that I think that we're going to see a lot more of in AEW. Crowd was so into this. And that's the concern you have. When there's somebody who hasn't been featured heavily on AEW TV, and let's be real, nobody thought that Momo was going to win that match. But the crowd was there for it. One of my pet peeves, if you're on commentary, don't clap. I hear that all the time, and it sounds like one person is clapping. I heard it after this match. But your mic picks it up. Don't clap if you're on commentary. If you hear this and you do commentary anywhere, don't clap. You'll make it sound like there's nobody else in the building as a result of that. Happens on AEW a lot, and it happened right here. Hoo boy. Mercedes Moné was a monster favorite at Bet Online. And Swerve Strickland was a favorite at Bet Online as well. And not only that, FightfulSelect.com had two of these as lock picks. We are now 17 for 17 in lock picks since starting this deal with Bet Online. And Swerve defeated Ricochet. So the drumming on Swerve's entrance didn't sound good. What can we do about that? Don't know why. I'll work to find out. But Ricochet came out with the robe, the embassy robe. Now, I thought that AEW did a very good job of explaining why this robe was important. Came from Prince Nana before he, gave up wrestling to be a manager. The late Jimmy Rave wore it. It is important to the people who have been a part of the embassy. And Ricochet came out with his logo on it. I think they should have stitched that terrible t-shirt with the aha on it. Just his face. I think that would have been funny. But there are "you are bald" chants. Listen, man, like there were a lot of people who turned on Ricochet when he left WWE. I think we can pretty objectively say already, creatively, he has had a better AEW run than WWE. You can say, oh, well, he had this one match and he was involved in this title thing. He has had creatively a better run already in AEW than he did in WWE. And that's okay. That's good. Swerve has too. A whole lot of people have. Tony Storm has too. Cody Rhodes has had an awful lot of a better time in WWE than he did in AEW. You're going to see a whole lot like that. Penta, he had a really He had a run that a lot of people like are just kind of forgetting and throwing by the wayside because he wasn't featured heavily as last year. He did a lot of shit in AEW. I think the WWE marketing machine is going to know how to deal with he and his brother way better than AEW, and therefore I think he'll be more successful in that regard. There are going to be an awful lot of fits that are just better. You know what I mean? AEW is a much better fit for Ricochet than WWE. Just like I think that Phoenix and Penta, because they are incredible talents, also with the benefit of having that marketing machine behind them, I think they'll have better WWE runs when all is said and done. Ricochet's so good, man. Had some heat on Leslie Jones.
Oh, God!
Leslie Jones, who was on SNL and the Ghostbusters, the women's Ghostbusters movie, she was into it. She loved it. I heard she had the time of her life backstage, too, was taking pictures with everybody. But Ricochet was getting heat off her. And Nigel thought it was Prince Nana's mom. Nigel. But there was a situation where Nana ended up getting pushed down and he left. He comes back, ends up pulling the robe away from Ricochet, who had been wearing it throughout a lot of the match. Good heat spot wearing that robe while the match was going on. But ultimately, Nana gets it back. More on that later. There was a spot that went from like, oh, how's this one going to go, to, oh, shit. So I'm sure there's a few other people that have done it, but Swerve does it. Shane Mercer does it. Shout out Shane Mercer, who does incredible things. But Swerve did it was a Hurricane Rana or a Frankensteiner roll-up pin off Ricochet. Then Swerve flipped it out into a powerbomb, and it looked like he was kind of struggling to get him up. And then after it looked like he was struggling to get Swerve up, or Ricochet up, then he flings Ricochet in the air, catches him, and power slams him. And it's like, oh, he's good. He's going to be okay. Don't worry. Don't worry about that. Vertebraker on the table that didn't budge. Let me tell you the brilliance of this. Go back and watch that shot if you bought the pay-per-view, which you should do with NordVPN.com/Fightful and Triller. Get that at a reduced price. They did it in the view of, I think it was Dr. Ken, the comedian, actor. And AEW is very good about this, about putting their talent on screen with these familiar celebrities and gauging the reactions of those celebrities. Those celebrities were acting how I wish every wrestling fan acted. They were up. They were enjoying it. They were making noise. They were partying, man. They were loving it. Dr. Ken, Leslie Jones were just having a ball. Dr. Ken was on his feet in the front row. Bet the people behind him hated it. But listen, it made for a good visual. Table didn't budge. Oh, a vertebraker on a table that doesn't budge. Nasty, bro. Nasty. Any of you that are up late with me here, 10,000 of you watching, send in those super chats, send in those humper chats. I want to know what your favorite part of the show is, your least favorite part of the show. If you're in the comments the next day or late tonight, whatever it may be, I'm in there talking with you guys all the time. But this match was incredible. It was incredible. 6:30 that hit on Ricochet, or that Ricochet hit on Swerve. I was like, oh my God, is he going to be able to continue? Because he hit it flush on the ribs. Swerve ends up winning. Luis notes that at the scrum, Swerve says that he has a ruptured eardrum. Crazy 101 sends a super chat and says AEW having celebrities is good. And says Swerve as champ. I do think that Swerve as the champ is the move. I think that's the way to go, to be honest with you. Also, the moment afterwards where Swerve gets down on a knee, gives Prince Nana the robe after a whole, so many people are like, oh, they're going to turn on each other. They're going to they're going to attack each other. I don't think they ever should. I don't think they ever should unless it's like a double swerve and it's just to get one over on somebody else. That's the only time. I think these two should be Kenny Powers and Stevie Janowski, buddy. That's like that. I don't want to see them split, bro. Only time I want to see it is like we go through like a 2-week thing and then Nana's in the corner with a very formidable opponent. And then at that pay-per-view, Nana goes to throw a chair to that person. Nope, throws it over their head, throws it to Swerve, crack, Swerve wins. And it was a swerve. One of my favorite parts about the post-match was how Nana just allows Swerve to collapse while he's dancing. Okada. That was one of my lock picks for BetOnline AG. He was a favorite. 11-minute meat match. This is fine. This has not been the best use of Okada. He's doing okay, right? Like, had this Okada run not existed in AEW, like, I'd be fine. At some point, it's going to have to step up in a very significant way. And, like, this match is fine. He's having a bunch of matches that I would say are, like, 6-7 out of 10, something like that, which is fine, like. Boy, what I would give to have a 6 out of 10 match, you know? But, like, I'm not Okada. I'm not Okada. And, like, when you're having matches against Shelton Benjamin and Kyle Fletcher and Ricochet and Commander and Mark Briscoe and all that, and people don't remember them that much. Now, the Ospreay match was incredible, but, like, okay. I'm glad to see Brody King getting opportunities like this as well. This probably could have been another like Collision Dynamite match because I think, and I will say this till I'm blue in the face, AEW should load up their Dynamite and Collision the week of a pay-per-view, and it should be like pay-per-view week. It's worked very well for WWE. You could have had Okada, Brody King. You could have had Hurt Syndicate, Outrunners, which we can go ahead and talk about. This would have been fine on Dynamite. Glad that the Outrunners got some early shine. But the Hurt Syndicate end up winning, and it's like, well, okay, that's fine. Hurt Syndicate over, bro, with the we hurt people. I think that's probably what changed and led to Swerve not getting his win back or anything like that, was because they went babyface, effectively. Even though they're facing baby faces, the crowd loves them, man. But I do feel like if these two matches were on Dynamite or Collision, they would have gotten a lot more shine. The crowd would have been there for it a little bit more. And this show in total, probably first off, would have been a half hour less there. They could have chopped two off the 0 hour, put those literally wherever. You would have had a more marquee Dynamite or Collision. And then you would have had a shorter, more memorable AEW Revolution. Oh, man. Speaking of memorable. What more can I say? Toni Storm versus Mariah May. Hollywood ending. Toni Storm was favored by BetOnline AG. Now, I want to preface this by saying, like, I do not like the mutilation style of wrestling. I am not a fan of glass and all that stuff. But I also understand that going from one of the greatest feuds in women's wrestling, period, ever, I don't think that's controversial to say, certainly the most important in AEW women's history, probably right up there with Rosa and Britt. Probably more considering the stages they've been on. The way that this feud went with the shoe and the blood that had been associated, I got no problem with it in this type of match. Didn't have a problem with it, even though it wasn't for me in the Swerve Hangman thing either, when it happened a couple years ago. And this was such a beautifully and disgustingly executed match. So much blood that it's insane. Top five Jaces, Tony Storm, Mariah, easy match of the night. Tony is now right on top of my list with Rhea. Listen, Tony is just somebody who went and grabbed an opportunity and strangled that opportunity and squeezed everything she could out of it. And another person who is a significantly better fit outside the auspices of WWE. And Mariah May is the perfect example of when you bring somebody in the company and you have big plans for them, it can work out. I've often said this. Bron Breakker, when he showed up in WWE, you knew he was somebody. In NXT, on the main roster. Brock Lesnar, same way. Well, listen, not everybody's Brock Lesnar or Bron Breakker. You can look at them and know they're something. Alberto Del Rio is the one that I point to. And I know, fuck Alberto Del Rio, right? Pardon my French. But when he got brought into WWE, they knew they were doing something big with him. They knew they were going to have him win the Royal Rumble, be a world champion in short order, and they treated him like that immediately. Immediately. In fact, they made a big screw up and somebody posted on his WWE profile, "Is this okay? I know he's supposed to be a big deal." Mariah May was like that. Like you saw her as the understudy, but you knew something was afoot. And in pro wrestling, predictable isn't bad if it's good. Here's an example I'll use. There are so many people that are going to be very happy that John Cena turned heel. I know that I am. He'll be more over with me than, gosh, ever before. But when I'm at the shows, I'm going to boo that man. I wouldn't be a part of the experience, right? Like, you're along for the ride. And you respect him enough to where you give him the desired reaction. That's kind of like with Mariah May. We knew it was happening at some point. But we were along for the ride. And we were good with it. I think a lot of people kind of knew Tony was portraying Tony. We were along for the ride. And this Hollywood ending was the most appropriate type of ending you could have had for this match. The Luther dropkick over the table was so funny. Then Tony does the sky high through the table. They basically do a duel where they're in the corners and they tape up their fists and they dip them in glass. They went full Taipei death match from Axelrod and Ian Rotten, ECW in the 2000s, or the 1990s, not 2000s. This was an appropriate, effective, and fantastic, I would say necessary ending to what they have. I've got a bunch of questions as to what is next, especially for like somebody like Mariah May. But the way that this ended with all the blood and the Storm Zero through the table, and then the beautiful shot of Mariah laying there. They're both bloodied. Tony looks down at Mariah. It looked like she was going to embrace her or kiss her or something. Some display of affection that we've seen out of those two in the past. And it pans out, and on the Tron, there is the end. I think that should have closed AEW Revolution. I don't know there could have been a more perfect ending to AEW Revolution. Now, the way that they ended the show, I think, is pretty solid in its own, but... oh, this was art. Vicky, our good friend. Love our friend Vicky. Says, "Hi, it's RS. Great show. Tony and Mariah killed it. Is there anything Ospreay can't do? Seems like the international title is bigger now. Love to all." It's easy to forget the international title was the All-Atlantic title, right? It's easy to forget that. And then it leveled up and now it has become a big, big thing. It's become enormous. I'll tell you what else is enormous. Getting a full night's sleep with Helix. I've mentioned this before. During the pandemic, I was sleeping on a slab of memory foam and it wasn't doing me very good. And I thought, you know what? I've invested in a computer chair, office chair. I spend so much time in it. I invest in a car because I'm traveling a lot. Why am I not investing in a bed that takes care of me? And I looked online for the mattress that had the most reviews, the highest reviews, and I found helixsleep.com/Fightful. I read the reviews on GQ, on Wired, Good Housekeeping, all that, saw all their reviews. And it was during the pandemic, so I didn't want to go to a mattress store. But I also didn't want to run the risk of me not liking the mattress. So I went to helixsleep.com/Fightful, there was no helixsleep.com/Fightful at that point. I went to helixsleep.com, but after I got my Helix, I hit him up and I said, guys, I would love to work with you because I'm getting the best sleep I've ever gotten. Listen, I know I'm out here selling mattresses, but it's the truth. Took their sleep quiz, matched me up with the Dusk Lux model. I've slept better than ever. Right now you get 25% off any purchase for a limited time using our code Fightful. It's got a limited lifetime warranty, but a 100-night sleep trial as well. They'll bring it to your house. If for some reason you don't like it, they'll come and get it for you. Just get it out of there. That's not going to happen. You're going to love the sleep that you get with helixsleep.com/Fightful. And they've got all kinds of them. If you run hot, they got ones that'll cool you down. If you're plus size, they got you there. They got their Core Collection, Lux Collection, Elite Collection. It is the most awarded mattress brand. They got flexible payment plans if you don't want to invest it all at once. helixsleep.com/Fightful. They also have Helix Kids mattresses as well. And just shout out to them. When the California wildfires happened, they hit me up and they're like, hey, do you all have anybody that are affected? Because if so, we will send them bedding. And that we were very fortunate that we didn't have anybody affected at that moment, but incredible gesture from the people at helixsleep.com/Fightful. Shadow C says, the bottle between the legs was effed up. My wife was watching downstairs and I could hear her react to it. Eight Young Nasty Man 8. Is that a Tenacious D reference? This revolution felt like I went to see Daft Punk before perform live, and the last song was a dry, meaty rendition of the Macarena. Tony Mariah should have closed. I think it should have closed as well. I do. Now, I will say this. The closing shot of the show, I was very satisfied with. I was okay with, but considering pacing and all that, I think that they should have had Hurt Syndicate and Outrunners as well as the Okada-Brody King match on Dynamite Collision, and then Moxley and Cope could have been right there in the middle of the show. Irene says, like most fans, I would have had Tony and Mariah as the main event, but I refused to obsess over their act as if the show wasn't awesome due to that. I agree. I just feel like optimizing the experience. Take a couple of those 0 hour matches off, save 30 minutes. Take a couple of those matches off in the middle, save 30 minutes. You go from a 5.5 hour show to about a 4:15 show with the pre-show and all that. Paces it a little bit better. Just saying. Rafael Garcia says, some people are of the belief that wrestling doesn't sell. To that, I say Revolution always proves them wrong. Kenny selling death, that Spanish fly, Spanish announce table destruction, that angel's wings, women on International Women's Day, wrestling, damn it. Rafael, I appreciate you so much. Wrestling does sell. AEW is a good example of that. And wrestling in the ring is the ultimate payoff for what we see. Ultimately, they got to fight each other. Ultimately, that conflict must meet a resolution. And it almost always meets a resolution in the form of a 1-2-3 or a tap, tap, taparoo. Kenny Omega defeated Takeshita to win the AEW International Championship. Kenny Omega was a Fightful Select.com BetOnline lock pick. He was a favorite on BetOnline as well. But we're going to have news on Kenny Omega and some international title plans on FightfulSelect.com over the next week. Get it there before you get it anywhere else. Straight to your phone, straight to your email. Takeshita is so very clearly a guy of the future. I mean, he's a guy of the present. What are we talking about? You want to go fast-paced, you want to go slow-paced, the little things, the big things, Takeshita does it all well. It's not surprising to see that Kenny Omega saw something special in this man. I love that it had a different pace that started out because things that went like 100 miles an hour throughout the night, right? And they were playing a lot of the hits. Then it really picked up. Kenny selling diverticulitis is very funny. Like, very funny. And that, like, it's not funny at all. The man almost died from it. I had a very frank conversation with him about it. Check it out in our archives. But he knows. He's hitting Bryan Danielson territory of like where Danielson would fall off the ring apron and then hold his neck or fence or seize, pretend to have a seizure, you know. Things that we knew about. Kenny does a lot of that too. Kenny will make you think that he is exhausted to a degree better than anybody else when he is one of the most conditioned people. When I would ask about Kenny and how he was doing upon recovery, I was told, well, he's in shape, but he's not in ring shape. And then once he gets in ring shape, he's got to get in Kenny Omega ring shape, which is a whole different thing. So I would say that Kenny Omega is in Kenny Omega ring shape, but as people convinced that he is exhausted perpetually, there was a spot that really got the crowd. It was the tombstone into Takeshita's finish. And that was a good one. Because, like, listen, the tombstone, I think it should be a finish. But listen, if the way that people use it on AEW tonight, it's used, I'm completely fine with that. But I also like that they didn't have Takeshita take the one-winged angel. I think he could be a guy that kicks out of it in the future. These are a couple of guys that we're going to see wrestle quite a few times over the next few years. But I think like there were a lot of people that thought that the pivot should have been to Omega as world champion. But I would argue that them staying, at least staying the course in the direction they were going, which was, from what I understood, always to be Kenny with the international title is very good because Kenny is one of the greatest AEW champions of all time. He's a great former IWGP champion. He helped found the company, and he is perpetually viewed as a top guy, especially with how he has been presented upon his return. Now, there were a lot of concerns about that when Kenny came back, and they're like, we don't want Golden Jets Kenny. We don't want the Elite Kenny. We want Kenny Omega, the wrestling god, and that's what we've gotten. I think it's gonna continue. Now, a lot of people naturally are saying Ospreay or Okada Omega at All In, which obviously is a match that I would do. And I would combine those titles. And then I would make it like a megazord of a title. World title A, world title B is what I would do. You ain't gotta say it. What I wouldn't do if they ever do that is call it the Intercontinental title. Because Intercontinental, first off, is a WWE thing and seems like a step down from international. I love Kenny getting the quick pinfall. And I've seen people say this about pinfalls in general like this. They're like, oh, a cheap pin. No, the point is to pin the person's shoulders to the mat, and Kenny Omega did that. Fantastic match, much different pace. Really liked it. Jordan S. sends a humper chat. Big thank you. Says, love Tony versus Mariah. But when it started, I thought they were going to have them fighting in black and white to start. Also, was Cope just a plot to get Cage to fail his shot? Overall, banger pay-per-view. Oh boy, I've got some news for you guys on the Christian cash-in in a couple of moments, courtesy of FightfulSelect.com, the best $6 in the business. I promise you guys are not more tired of me talking about it than I am promoting it. But Tony Mariah was art, Jordan. It was art, buddy. Oh, Will Ospreay defeated Kyle Fletcher. Some incredible camera work here. Incredible camera work here. You see Kyle Fletcher standing on the top of the cage doing this from behind, and then you see Ospreay's Tron playing with that beat drop that took forever before he hit his music. But there was an image that was kind of sentimental to me. I don't know when the hell it was, but I remember the first image that I saw of pro wrestling, and it was like Ric Flair standing on the top of a cage. And I remember Great Muta or Sting had stood on the top of the cage, or the turnbuckles in the cage. And I remember I saw this guy with the bleach blonde hair and a couple guys with face paint. And I was like, what is this? Now, I probably saw this years after it happened, right? But I was like, what is this? I got to see more of this wrestling stuff. I see Ospreay and Fletcher standing on the top of the cage across the ring from each other. Whew. Incredible. Incredible. Now, there's an issue that I have with this. Even though I liked how it was rectified, I would not have had Mark Davis get into the cage. Because to me, you're undermining the purpose of a cage far too early in the lifespan of AEW, even though they've been around 6 years. They haven't had as many cage matches. Don't undermine the point of the cage. You could have had him trying to get in, and then Ospreay does something, kicks the cage door in his face, yada, yada. Now, that being said, him doing the hidden blade into the chair was very cool. Very, very cool. I liked Mark Davis introducing the weapons, but there were some spots in here that were just unreal. First off, Kyle Fletcher stabbing him in the forehead with the damn screwdriver. Oh, boy. But the spiral tap, the os cutter from up higher, like hanging off the cage, looking like Mario in Super Mario World, man. It was incredible. Lots of blood in this. I would say to AEW wrestlers, hey, maybe don't lick the blood as much. Maybe make that like a once every few years thing. There's a Styles Clash on attacks that was it was disgusting. Kyle Fletcher's pain tolerance is through the roof. This guy is built differently. And you look at who is looking like in the next however many years will be on the world title level, and it's like Takeshita and Kyle Fletcher. When Okada gets a little bit too old, you've got another Japanese star. When Ospreay or Omega get a little bit too old or injured or beaten up, you've got another guy that can compete at the pace that they do. Maybe can't do the same physical things that they do, but can wrestle a style and pace similar to that. Incredible. The finish of this match was also fantastic and emotional. You've got Kyle Fletcher there knowing he was done. Man knows he was cooked. He's just like, I fucking hate you. Pardon the French. I hate you. And Ospreay finishes him off. Crazy 101 said that Ospreay says he wants the AEW world title. I want him to go after it as well. To me, you have got, you think about the golden era of WWE from a personality standpoint. I would argue it was 2000. You had that Armageddon Hell in a Cell match, Undertaker, Kurt Angle, The Rock, Triple H, Steve Austin, and then you had a random Rikishi thrown in there. But before that, you had Mick Foley. You had Kane. So you had like six or seven. You'd throw in Big Show here and there, but really six, seven super strong top guys. And AEW right now, Osprey, Omega, Swerve, Hangman on the babyface side is like, whoa. You've got Moxley, MJF. You got Cope out there doing his thing. You got a lot of guys. You got a lot of people on the come up, too. They're in a very good spot. Irene says, all the who needs wrestling? Just stories, weirdos, need to understand that wrestling itself can tell stories and watch Kenny versus Takeshita tonight. I mean, listen, for all the people online that straight up lie and say that Sean blocked me or he hates me or disrespected me or jumped in my DMs over me not liking something he's like, I don't give a shit if you like or dislike what I like. But if you're a total asshole to me about it, if you like threaten me about it, I'll probably dunk on you and just, you know, move on or block you or whatever. But like, I don't like time travel movies. There you go. I don't like them. Hard for me to stay interested in them. I am not going to go and see somebody on Twitter tweeting about time travel movies and then me harass them relentlessly for the next years of my life or any period of time. It's not for me. Scroll on, right? Like, I don't like super, super gory movies. I don't like movies about ghosts, goblins, and all that stuff. I prefer more reality-based horror movies. I am not going to make it my personality to harass the people that do like that. And I find it very weird when people are, you know, specifically WWE fans or AEW fans or whatever, and they just make that their thing. I happen to like WWE wrestling and AEW wrestling. At times, I have enjoyed New Japan more than them. At times, I haven't. There was a point where I got really into the Paranormal Activity movies, and I was like, you know what? I'll give these a shot. Not as much these days. Your tastes change. Just a matter of if you can be normal about it. Anthony Martin says, after tonight, what do you think the All-In card is? Well, Okada, Omega, Osprey, Hangman, I think would be a big one. Two monster matches. MJF, Swerve, I would do. Without the title, I would do Darby and Mox and have Sting and Sons come and be Darby's backup for the Death Riders. I'd do Mercedes and Athena. Tony and... I would go with Tony Storm and whoever the most over talent is at that point. That's the direction I think it should go. We got some notes from the scrum. Big Boom Age. Oh my God. Said he, the Rizzler, and Big Justice are under AEW contract. Jeremy Lambert sent the quote in. Says, I am officially with AEW now. I'm undefeated under contract. As are Big Justice and the Rizzler. Damn. I mean, I'll say this, guys. He is an incredibly positive guy. His whole family is. They were lovely at the All In ticketing event. Just wonderful people. And like, it's not like a show. Like, you don't see them hit cut and he's like yelling at his kids and the mom like, ah, you little brat. It's not like that. They're just very nice, very positive, very happy people, at least in my experience with them. And it was very refreshing. It was very nice to meet them. John Moxley was a slight favorite over Cope in the BetOnline AG odds, but on FightfulSelect.com, your boys had him as a lock pick. Probably the closest odds of the night, and we had him as a lock pick. Subscribe, my friends. So, as far as singing Cope's song, Australia's got LA beat. I don't think that this match did anything to change the minds of people who do not like the Death Rider story. and the pace of matches. I don't think that it did anything to change the minds of people who wanted the Toni Storm Mariah May match to close. And I personally think that it should have been at a different place in the show. After Swerve Ricochet, obviously, so you could still get that moment. I will say that the Swerve thing at the end helped it. But all due respect to all of the people involved, because Cope was, he's an all-timer to me, as is Christian. Jon Moxley is phenomenal. But it is very similar to WWE and what AEW has largely and traditionally set themselves apart from. Now, I'm not saying that they needed to go 100 miles an hour like everything else. That's fine to not do that. But I think considering the nature of what else was on the show, the placement would have been more appropriate elsewhere. Dante says, I hope this pay-per-view proves to TK and the crew they need to stick with what brought them into the dance. There were three matches that could have main evented, but instead we got the Death Rider story instead. I think it should be world title. And the AEW women's world title is a world title. Now, I saw somebody in our Discord say they need to hit another gear. And I'm like, yeah, just anything but park. Bryce Remsburg got like in Moxley's face. Like he'd had enough of it after all these months. But Yuta comes out, Switchblade comes out. We got some friendly fire on Cope. I think maybe that leads to some Cope Switchblade stuff, which would be all right. I'm good with that. But like, this is not the bloodline, man. And I don't need it to be bloodline pilled. Jon Moxley is a fantastic enough storyteller and performer to not need this. And this whole thing had been teased as like, he's doing it on his own. He's got to do it on his own. And then he didn't have to do it on his own. Now, he overcame some things that I think lended credibility to his run. But like, I feel like the Yuta element was just to get to Cope in Switchblade. The ops were watching this too. I don't know what to make of that yet. I mean, Samoa Joe has been a world champion, but the ops just up there watching the whole time is, and them showing it during the main event. I was like, okay, okay. So before the three count, Christian pulls the ref out and the ref's about to DQ. But like for who? Who would he DQ? In that he didn't touch anybody, but then he cracks, is it Cope over the head with the contract? That would have been a DQ, but Christian signs it and cashes in. I saw a lot of people today doing the, oh, Switchblade's going to steal it. Like, I don't think there's any precedence for that. And I saw people comparing it to the Luchasaurus thing where Christian cashed in, but like Luchasaurus just let him do that. And from what I was told, Christian was like pitched this earlier this week, this story. And AEW just wanted to get this damn contract out there. Now, I would love to see something like that where until it's cashed in and signed, it can be like ganked or stolen from somebody who's in possession of it. That might lend a little bit more entertainment to the notion of, oh, well, you can't just physically carry it around all the time. You got to have some people to protect you. I don't know. Just thinking of a way for it to be different than WWE. But Christian gets tapped out pretty quickly. And listen, I'm surprised that that happened. Christian does not strike me as the type of person that would take that booking that quickly. Dante says, I take the Humper Chat back. The ending with Christian and Swerve was perfect. Well, we're getting there. Oh, boy, are we getting there. Alex Fitzgerald says, there's no way the main event was going to follow the Ospreay-Fletcher match. The ending and the run-ins made the main event so bad. Yeah, I think that Tony and Mariah should have been in that spot. I really do. Chi-Town Spurs says everybody knew the main event was going to be poorly received compared to everything else. And they did it anyway. Such a shame. Pathetic finish to a generational pay-per-view. I think the match will be much more fondly remembered because of the aftermath with Nana confronting Moxley. They pan up. Swerve is there. He does the stomp down and the crowd is happy. They're loving it. I didn't mind the close of the show. And I do understand that if you're building your next pay-per-view and it's Swerve Moxley and it's your arguably most over babyface in the company against a guy that people desperately want the title off of, you'd want that to be the closing show of your pay-per-view. But also, from an art standpoint, brother, Tony and Mariah with the end up there. Let the Los Angeles, the Hollywood crowd go home with the end. Bring a big bunch of curtains across the stage. Ooh, it would have been great. D'Lo Diggs says, man, old girl got me mad when she said that. I would say main event having to follow up three killer matches. But that finish, I don't know about. Yeah, listen, there's a lot of people that understandably get in their feels when somebody on the TV show says, well, you know who's going to win and lose? It's very weird. Like, I can't believe she said it twice. I can't believe she said it once, much less twice. This ain't Deadpool here. Corso's Rare Books and Collectibles says last two AEW pay-per-views seem to be peak WCW. All-time great undercard, then the main is a slow run-in mess. SRS, please tell us that Swerve will beat Mox. I know there are people in the company who want him to, but I don't know that he is. But hey, closer to Dynasty, I am sure we will find out. Get your super chats, get your humper chats in. We are heading down the home stretch. A reminder, I am back here after WWE Raw, but I am over on FightfulSelect.com all the time. That is our lifeblood. That is, quite frankly, that is what I put so much work into is FightfulSelect.com. We have a tier at $6 where you get news, Discord access, podcasts, Q&As, all that. We've got one at $10 where you get a lot of early access stuff. So the LJN videos that myself and Jimmy filmed, you'll get those early. All of our interviews, you'll get them early. Any special features or anything like that, you get them early. We would greatly appreciate it. You can also sign up for an annual subscription and save money. I think it's $64 a year for the main tier, but if you care about original content and creators and the like, we encourage you to go there. There's a lot of people that make their living off of our reporting, and we would appreciate if you head over to FightfulSelect.com and become a part of our wonderful community. I had a great time in the live chat. Like, listen, my Twitter experience ain't all that, but I love being in that Discord, man. I really love it. I want to thank our moderator, Luis. I want to thank so many of you that are here at 1:30 in the morning Eastern. My God, 1:30 a.m. Eastern. I appreciate you all so much. It's been a wild one. Oh, listen. We got another super chat here. Love for Boost says, what if in the future contracts are like titles? You lose a singles match, the contract moves to the winner. Like, you defend it. I would love that. I would love that. And then it's like a you better use it or lose it type of thing, because otherwise you run the risk of dropping that thing. Now, also, that would WWE used to love to put the money in the bank on people, right? And then have them lose their asses and then quietly just forget about them having the briefcase, and then they come back and cash in off of like six losses. Guys, thank you all so much. I appreciate you. Actually, no, N. Simmons popped up. Nope, we got one more. N. Simmons says, I think Swerve should win the title. I think Ricochet could get the contract next on Swerve or even Hangman because it's time. He should lose to Ospreay. Fire pay-per-view, possibly AEW top three pay-per-view. Listen, we have not done MJF Swerve. We have not done really to a big feud. MJF Omega, they did their match. We have not done Hangman and Ospreay. We've not done really Hangman and Ricochet to a grander scale. There are a lot of these combinations that we're about to see that are going to be really, really good. And I don't mind this idea at all in Simmons. I think it's a good one. I think it's great. We are going to see some really, really great combinations, I think, coming up in AEW over the next year. Thank you all so much, my friends. We're out.
If your job at a healthcare facility includes disinfecting against viruses, you know prevention is the best medicine. And maintaining healthy spaces starts with a healthy cleaning routine. Grainger's world-class supply chain helps ensure you have the quality products you need when you need them. From disinfectants and cleaning supplies to personal protective equipment, so you can help deliver a clean bill of health. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.